Archer's Omnibus for the week 17 to 21 November 1997.
Tray coming through.
Oh, sorry, dear.
There.
Have I said thank you for our card and present? It's a lovely vase.
Yes.
And you sure you don't mind me leaving you to it here?
Of course not. It is your anniversary.
I know, but it hardly seems fair leaving you to slave away in the kitchen.
Oh, I'd hardly call making a few sausage rolls slaving away.
A few? Surely there's enough food here.
Mum, you just try and enjoy your day, okay?
I'm enjoying it. And I'm especially looking forward to this evening. We'll have all the family around. Well, nearly.
And a few more besides. I thought you'd have left for Auntie Chris's by now.
Just waiting for your father. You know how long it takes him to get out of the house?
Oh, I don't know. 40 years on and she's still complaining about me.
You'd think there was something wrong if I didn't.
Nice of Janet to wish us the best in the service this morning, wasn't it?
Yes, it was very sweet of her to remember.
Look, I don't want to chuck you out of your own house, but shouldn't you be going?
Oh, yes, Chris and George will be waiting. Come on, love.
Well, I like that. You're the one who's been in.
What are you two still doing here? I thought you'd have gone to Auntie Chris's by now.
We're just going now. See you both later.
Yes, bye.
Bye. Oh, I thought they were never going to go.
Well, you know what it's like getting Dad out of the house. Anyway, I just came over to say that Ruth will bring the salads over in the next hour or so, if that's okay.
Fine.
Not that you'll need them by the look of things. I mean, I know we got one or two extra coming, but that's what I call a groaning table. Shula, what's the matter?
Why should anything be the matter?
Because I can tell.
Nothing, I'm just annoyed, that's all.
Don't tell me, Kenton.
Not just that. I mean, this is supposed to be their day. It's bad enough that they're spending the afternoon at Auntie Chris's.
Well, that can't be helped, can it? Poor old George is hardly up for the party, and besides, Mum insisted.
I know. But then you'd think Kenton would have at least phoned, just to wish them a happy anniversary. I mean, I can see how disappointed Mum is. Well, not that she said anything, of course.
Shula, why are you surprised? It is Kenton we're talking about here.
Oh, I don't know. There'd better be enough food for tonight, that's all. I wouldn't like the day to turn into an unmitigated disaster.
Enough food? Are you kidding? There's enough here to feed an army.
Oh, you'd be surprised. I'm worried half the village is going to turn up.
What time is it now, Peggy?
Just gone 4.
Oh. Did Shula say when Phil and Jill'll be back?
No, I'm afraid she didn't.
Oh. I did wonder if you might be a bit early.
I thought we'd be in time for the food. The invitation was so unclear, you see.
It was a bit, wasn't it? Do you think we should go away and come back later?
Oh, don't be silly. How on earth is it going to look if we do that?
Well, it's just that if we did go back, I could make a quick phone call.
You can make a phone call here if you're that desperate. I'm sure Jill won't mind. Who are you thinking of calling, anyway?
Nathan Glover. I just want to find out if he enjoyed himself at the shoot yesterday.
Jack, the whole point of letting Brian's man take over while George is off is so that you don't have to worry about it.
I know, but Nathan's an important client of ours, and he's quite pernickety. Has to have things just so. That's why I left very specific instructions for Brian's man.
Well, if you did, I'm sure they'll have been adhered to.
I don't know, Peggy. I sometimes think Brian has a very different attitude to me, to the way a shoot should be organised, that is.
Yes, but it wasn't Brian who organised it yesterday, was it? It was Jeff Hastings.
Yes, but still, you
see... Oh, honestly, I should just try and forget about it if I were you. Why don't you have another sherry?
Oh, I don't like helping myself. Feels a bit rude when there's no other guests here.
Oh, I'm sure no one will mind.
Mind what, Auntie Peggy?
Jack was just contemplating helping himself to another sherry.
Oh, please do. I feel bad enough leaving you two on your own in here as it is.
Oh, well, if you're sure. Do you want another one, Peggy?
No, thank you. Not till after I've eaten, I think.
Yes, I'm sorry about that. I got a bit behind with things. The food should be ready very soon.
Oh, do you need a hand?
Oh, Auntie Peggy, I couldn't possibly ask
Nonsense. It's not as if I'm sitting here doing anything, is it? Come on, you show me what it is you want me to do.
Well, if you're sure.
Oh, well, I'll just wait here then, shall I? Otto.
More tea, anyone?
Not for me, thanks.
Oh, well, I wouldn't mind another cup if it's no trouble.
Oh, of course not. Anyway, happy anniversary, or I said that already today.
Only about 100 times.
Yes, and thank you for tea.
I'm only sorry George wasn't here to share it with us.
Well, we've told you not to worry about that. He needs his rest.
You could see that when he came in. He obviously hasn't been sleeping too well.
Oh, he's had a lot of bad nights lately.
Nightmares?
Bad dreams, certainly. I couldn't say for sure. He won't talk about it.
Presumably it's all to do with the attack.
I suppose so. Not that he can remember anything about it. I think it's really knocked him back.
Well, that's understandable. He's been through a terrible ordeal.
I know, but he's always been such a strong man. This seems to have changed everything. He's so withdrawn. If I ask him about going back to work, he's non-committal. If I ask him about anything, he's non-committal. Oh, I just want the old George back.
Give him time. That's all you can do.
I suppose it is. Oh, look, here's me giving you a perfectly miserable time on your wedding anniversary of all
oh,
days.
Oh, don't be silly.
Well, I tell you one thing that George isn't non-committal about.
What's that?
Eddie Grundy having anything to do with the attack.
Well, yes, that's true. George thinks the idea's completely daft.
So do we all. Yeah. The very idea that Eddie could be involved with something like that's ridiculous. I don't know why the police are investigating it.
Oh, well, I suppose they have to cover all the angles, if only to eliminate him from their inquiries.
Well, let's hope they find out who did do it, and sooner rather than later. Maybe then George will start mending properly.
Look, are you sure you don't want to come to the party this evening? Just for a little while. It might do you good to get out for a bit. And if George is asleep...
Oh, I don't think so, Jill. Thanks all the same, but I'll stay here.
Please, just all help yourselves. There's plenty. Except for you, David. You need to go on a diet after tonight.
Yeah, I need to get my strength up. Besides, what I've got here is nothing to what I've just seen Joe Grundy put away. Yeah, it's not only the food he's been going at either. He is definitely very happy.
As in happy as a newt, you mean?
Uh-huh.
I've just watched him attempting a duet in the sitting room.
Oh, yeah.
Old blue eyes. Still, you know, Joe, he enjoys a party.
Yeah, especially if everything's free.
David.
Anyway, I bet you're glad you made all this extra food.
I'll say. I'm quite at a loss as to how some people got invited. You know who I've just seen in the sitting room?
Hmm?
Lawrence Lovell.
Get away, really?
Large as life. I didn't know I invited him.
Me neither. Hey, I tell you who I noticed didn't turn up after all. John and Haley.
Yes, I've just been speaking to Pat. She says she's going to give John a piece of her mind tomorrow.
Oh dear, poor John.
Anyway, I'm just going to nip upstairs and check on the little
things. No need. Ruth's done it and all three are sleeping like, well, babies, really.
Oh, that's good. Mum!
Oh, excuse me. Hello, dear.
I thought you were going to get changed.
Well, I was, but when we got back, we already had guests and I could hardly desert them, could I?
But you only went round there for afternoon tea. Who on earth was here that early?
Auntie Peggy and Jack. I think they misunderstood the open house invitation.
Ah. So how was it at George and Christine's?
It was a bit subdued, to be perfectly honest. George was tired, so he went to bed halfway through. He still looks very poorly, you know.
Oh, poor old chap.
Oh, well, at least this isn't subdued.
I'll say. You want to go in the sitting room? I think Joe's about to attempt anything goes.
More gate crashes, I reckon.
I'll get it.
No, it's all right, Mum.
Now, surely it's my party, and I'll answer the door as I want to. Hello, Mum. Happy anniversary.
Kenton?
Yeah.
Just come in. Don't be Come in. Everyone
you.
Knows who's here.
Hey, hi, Dave. Still here then, eh?
I'm just about. It's good to see you, mate. How are you?
Oh, all the better for seeing you and Mum and my twin sister here. Come here, you.
Oh, I could murder you, Kenton.
Oh, well, that's nice. Here's me, just come from the other side of the world.
Well, literally, I hope.
Oh, no. I've been in London for a day or so, you know, visiting friends and sleeping off the jet lag.
I'll go and get Dad and Elizabeth. I'll wait me a minute.
Oh, Kenton. I can't believe you're here.
To be honest, Mum, neither could I.
Well, why didn't you tell me?
Well, it would have ruined the surprise, wouldn't it?
Oh, some things don't change, eh, Mum?
I wouldn't have it any other way.
So they seemed all right, did they?
You know, I still can't get over it, Kenton, just turning up like that.
Yes, I know, so you said.
I'm sorry, what did you say, Peggy?
I was asking you about George and Chris. Did they seem all right?
Well, all right, yes, but only just. George isn't really up to socialising.
Oh, dear.
And Chris said he's been having bad dreams and he seems afraid to go out.
I suppose things take time.
Well, yes, they do. My worry is that it's taken toll on her just as much as on him.
Yes, it must be very hard for her.
Well, the fact is that she's worried about him, very worried.
Did she say this to you?
Oh, not in so many words, but I can tell. I don't know. George is keeping it all bottled up about what's happening to him, and in a funny way, Chris is doing the same thing.
And no one wins in the end.
Exactly.
Well, I suppose all we can do is wait and try and support them as best we can.
Yeah, that's it. Some things don't change.
There you are, Peggy.
You were a long time. I only asked for a glass of wine.
Yes, I'm sorry. I just thought I'd pop into the office to use the phone.
Oh, Jack.
I hope that was all right, Phil.
Yes, of course.
Nathan Glover, was it?
Yes, it was. It happens.
And who's...
One of my best clients, Phil.
Ah.
Jack's done nothing but worry about yesterday's shoot all day.
Is this the shoot that Brian's chap was helping you out with?
That's the one. Now, don't tell me, Jack. Nathan thought everything was fine and looks forward to the next shoot at Grey Gables, right?
As it happens, Peggy, no.
Oh.
Oh, why? What happened?
There was one drive Nathan was looking forward to. You know, Peggy, the plantation.
Well, yes.
I'd given specific instructions that the drive was to be scheduled for the afternoon, but I'm afraid my instructions were ignored.
What, by Jeff?
No, actually by Brian himself.
Jeff, what on earth do you mean?
It's perfectly simple, Peggy. Brian came down to Grey Gables and told Jeff he was taking over personally. He decided that for the afternoon he'd use a cover that wasn't as good. Now I've got an unsatisfied customer to deal with. More than one, probably. I'm going to have a word with him.
Not here, Jack. Hmm? This is neither the time nor the place for a row about business.
Oh, no, 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 don't worry. I'll ring a few other customers tomorrow and see how they felt. Then I'll talk to Brian.
So, am I forgiven then?
I don't know. I'm still deciding.
Hey, come on, Dave. Surely you're on my side. You can see that the surprise was a good idea.
Yeah, give him a break, Shula. After all, it made Mum and Dad happy.
And I have brought Daniel a lovely belated birthday present.
Oh, all right. Consider yourself forgiven.
Great.
Speaking of presents, what have you got Mum and Dad for their anniversary?
Don't worry. It's currently in hand.
Aha, say no more.
And I've brought some nice things for your two as well.
Oh, that's good of you.
I mean, I can't believe I haven't even seen Josh. I mean, you could have sent her.
Oh, you'll get plenty of chances, I'm sure.
Hey, and how's Pip? How's she doing at school?
All right. One or two teething troubles, I think.
Ah, well, that's natural. What's been the matter?
I'm sure it's just a phase, David.
Yeah, me too. No, Pip keeps saying she doesn't want to go to school, that's all.
Well, if I had a penny for every time I said that when I was a kid.
Yeah, but...
Everybody all right for drinks?
Oh, yes, thanks,
Mum. Thanks, Mum. You looked as if you were being kept engrossed by Bert just then.
Yeah, he's excited about tomorrow's quiz night. He reckons they're in with a chance.
I believe that when I see it. They were hopeless last week.
He says that's only because the team kept overruling him. If they listen to him tomorrow, they'll have cause for celebration, apparently.
Hey, speaking of celebrating, I think it's time for a toast, don't you? Ladies and gentlemen, can I have a little quiet, please? Please, thank you. Can someone see to the music? Thanks very much, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, and Mr. Grundy asleep on the sofa, I think the time has come to raise our glasses. A ruby wedding is no mean feat. And to reach that anniversary as well as raise a lovely family, eh? It's quite an achievement. And so, I give you my mother and father, Phil and Jill.
Phil and Jill.
Oh, well done.
Thanks very much. Oh, Dad, you've got to tell me about what happened to the estate contract.
Well, nice to know some things haven't changed.
You mean we don't hear a thing for goodness knows how long, and then in he comes and takes centre stage?
Exactly.
I don't know how you can possibly think that, David.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, well, yes, I'm glad it all went well. Yes, I'll tell him. Oh, give our love to Kenton. Bye.
Was that Jill?
That's right. Now, Boots. She said the party went well.
Yeah.
Of course, she was over the moon about Kenton turning up like that.
I suppose she must have been.
He's apparently gone with Ruth to take Pip to school this morning.
Oh.
Oh, George, you might try and show a bit of enthusiasm.
Well, I'm hardly likely to get all in a lather about a party I wasn't even at, am I?
Jill did say we were missed.
Yeah, don't expect I was. I wouldn't exactly have been the ideal guest at a celebration. More like the spectre at the feast.
Oh, George.
Oh, look, I'm all right. Chris, please don't faff.
Okay, okay. Listen, why don't you try going out today? A breath of fresh air might do you some good.
No, I don't really feel up to it, to be honest. I'm actually a bit tired.
Well, you were up ever so early. It's nice to see that old keeper's instinct coming back.
More to do with the fact that I couldn't sleep, I'm afraid. My keeper's instinct's on ice for the time being.
Oh, come on, George. You'll be back at work before you know it.
Will I?
Of course you will. Jack wouldn't be able to manage without you.
I'll go back when I'm good and ready.
I know that, but...
No, Chris. Look,
I appreciate what you're trying to do. I know you're trying to be positive and all that, but I'll get better in my own time.
Oh, I hope you don't think I'm trying to rush you.
Do you mind if we don't talk about it? You're going to be late for work if you're not careful.
OK. See you later.
Bye, bye.
Go on. Out you go, you lot.
Eddie! Eddie!
Hang on, love.
Is it me or is that one late?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at.
I thought so.
I'll have a look at her foot in a minute. Dad could give me a hand getting her into the crush.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm just off to work. I'll see you later.
Yeah, all right, love.
Oh, come on, Eddie, cheer up. You've got a face like a wet Wednesday.
What have I got to be cheery about? Go on, you. Get him on.
I know you're worried about what the police said.
You're right, I'm worried. Clive Orobin.
Oh, Clive Orobin's a liar. Always has been, always will be. And what's more, he always gets caught.
His alibi was confirmed.
By someone else who's lying. It'll all come out in the end, believe me. Bound to.
Oh, I wish I had your confidence, that's all I can say. Even his own mother said he weren't in Ambridge that night.
She would, wouldn't she?
And what about Susan, eh? Even she's been saying he's not been here for weeks.
Look, I've been telling you since Friday. There ain't nothing you can do about it, is there?
Actually, there's one thing I might do.
What? Oh, Eddie, what you up to?
Nothing. I just thought I might pop over and see George, that's all.
What on earth for?
See how he's doing, of course.
Eddie?
Well, he might have remembered something, or I might be able to jog his memory a bit.
Eddie, that's got to be one of the stupidest ideas you've had for a long while.
Why?
Well, because poor Mr. Barford ain't up to being cross-examined by the likes of you for a start.
I wasn't going to cross-examine him.
And also, because if you are under suspicion, how's he going to look to the police if you go round and threaten their chief witness?
Oh, now I'm threatening him, am I? A minute ago, I was only cross-examining him.
Oh, I'm talking about the way other people will see it. Use your loaf.
It's all right for you. You're not under suspicion. I've got the whole village thinking I'd done it.
Rubbish. Nobody thinks any such thing.
Yeah, well, I reckon you'd be surprised.
Look, I tell you what, why don't I go round to the stables just to give Mr. Barford our best, mind? Well, and if he has managed to remember anything else, I'm sure he'll tell me. Right.
Ron, you're busy.
What can I do for you?
George Barford case. Any more thoughts?
What? Since Horobin provided us with a watertight alibi, not much.
Why? Just trying to think it through, that's all.
You still fancy Grundy for it?
Of course I do, don't you?
Well, not really. GBH isn't Grundy's style. Not in my opinion.
Yeah, you don't know him like I do.
Oh, I know him pretty well. I mean, the guy's had scams going as long as your arm. I can imagine him peddling dodgy venison all right, but beating seven shades out of an old man, I don't think so.
No.
No. And with respect, sir, you knew him a long time ago.
Yeah, but you didn't, Ron. That's the point. And I don't think leopards change their spots. Not that easily.
Well, OK. Look, let's suppose it was him. Why make up all this stuff about Horobin? Why not get some local villain, Snatch Foster? Someone will back Grundy up if they bought a drink or two.
Because Horobin fits the bill so much easier, that's why. I mean, there's no love lost between him and George Barford, is there?
Well,
look, everyone in Ambridge suspects Horobin for the burglaries at the Barford place and elsewhere, right? Including George.
Yes, sir.
So, Grundy gets nicked, having just committed the evil deed. Who better to cast suspicion on? The local boy with a history of violence and a grudge against the victim.
Yes, but what are you saying Grundy's motive was when he did the beating? I mean, he can't have counted on George Barford not being able to remember anything afterwards, can he?
Look. Possible scenario. Grundy is one of a number of people involved with poaching venison who's caught by the local keeper. An assault then takes place, and whether Grundy actually put the boot in is irrelevant. He was there. He's involved. He condoned what happened.
I suppose if they panicked when George Barford arrived...
Well, to be honest, Ron, I'm not interested in what the motivation is or was. I don't care. I'm only interested in what I know. One, that Grundy was found near the scene of the crime. Two, that he had venison in his van.
Which can't be properly accounted for.
Which can't be properly accounted for. Three, there's bloodstains in the vehicle.
When's forensic coming back on that?
Well, hopefully today. Maybe later in the week. Four... When we pull him in, Grundy tells us he was delivering said venison to certain people, and not one of them backs him up. So then our Eddie tells us the local nutter was in the van with him, when in fact said nutter was 100 miles away.
So, open and shut case, then.
I wish.
You're going to pull him in again. Eddie, I mean.
No, not yet. Instead, I think I'm going to put the wind up him a bit. See if he does anything. Anyway, thanks for your thoughts, Ron.
I don't think I said anything, did I?
Oh, hello, Clary.
Hello, Mrs. Barford. Sorry to bother you.
Oh, that's all right. What can I do for you?
Was Mr. Barford, I can say, actually, is he available?
I'm afraid he's asleep. Was it anything I can help with?
Sorry?
The reason you came to see George.
Oh, no, it doesn't matter, no, thanks. I just popped by to see how he's doing.
Oh, that's very nice of you. He's okay, recovering, you know.
And is there any news?
Well, you know, who the police think might be responsible. Well, we had Sergeant Blackmore around earlier. I think they're just following up every lead they have.
See. Yes, well, anyway, I won't keep you. I just wanted to say how Mr. Barford was. I'd better be going then.
Yes, OK. Bye, Clary.
Bye-bye, Mrs. Barford.
Chris?
Coming. I thought you were asleep.
Yeah, I was. Who was that at the door? I heard voices.
Oh, no one for you to worry about. Did you sleep all right?
I suppose I did. Catching up on last night, I reckon.
George?
Yeah?
Look, you know there's a parish council meeting tonight.
Is there?
You know there is. I reminded you about it yesterday.
Oh, well, I must have forgotten. If it's all the same to you, I'll give it a miss for this time.
Soapern!
Mind if I come in, Eddie?
Flipping heck.
Sorry, did I make you jump?
No, it's all right. I just wasn't expecting you, that's all. Come in.
Thanks.
Take a pew. Do you want a cup of tea? I was just making...
No, you're all right, Eddie. I won't be staying. I was passing and I thought I'd pop by. See the old place.
Oh, I say, so this ain't an official visit?
This? No. Dead informal, this. Place has changed.
Yeah, it would do. It's been a good few years since you've been in this, Es.
Oh, no, I meant the buildings outside, not how I remember them somehow.
Oh, yeah, the built-in parlour's new. We had a fire, the old one burnt down.
Yeah, that must have been tough for you.
Yeah, it was, actually. But, you know, you sold your own, don't you?
Well, you always have. Can't keep a Grundy down, right? It's the one thing I do remember.
Suppose so. Resilient, ain't we?
Yeah, true. You always manage to make ends meet in the end. You know, I was taking a little wander down memory lane yesterday. You know, as you do. We had quite a time, you and I, didn't we?
Reckon we did at that.
Do you remember, for instance, how I once had you up for poaching deer from the country park?
Oh, now wait a minute. You just wait a minute. I was completely innocent of
it. I couldn't find you guilty, old son. There is, I think you'll agree, a subtle but important difference.
No, just you and...
Hello, Clary, love.
Jim Coverdale.
Yeah, that's right. I'm investigating the attack on George Barford. Did Eddie not tell you? I don't know, Eddie. Your missus will think you have something to hide next. Anyway, I must be getting on. I'll see you both later. Be good.
Eddie, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you say it was him?
I didn't want to worry you.
Oh, well, how do you think I feel finding out this way? He's always had it in for you.
Oh, don't make no difference, does it? I didn't do it. For nothing he comes up with is going to change that. Oh, anyway, lover, did you go and see George Barford?
Oh, yeah, Mrs. Barford wouldn't let me see him. He was asleep. She said Sergeant Blackmore had been over.
Oh, great. Blackmore goes to see George and Coverdale comes to see me. They obviously think they're onto something.
Yeah, but what?
Me, most likely. They think they're onto me.
Pat?
You won't mind if I carry on loading, will you? And you've got to get this lot to Underwoods.
No.
Where's John, anyway? He's late this morning.
At the cottage, I expect. Look, there was just something I wanted to say.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, well, it was... Look, Pat, I know you're busy. Would you mind stopping for a second? It's important.
Oh? Okay, what's up?
Well, it's just... In spite of all that's happened, I just wanted to be sure you and I'd still be friends.
I'm not with you, Hayley.
Well, you know, it's bound to be awkward for a time, people taking sides. But I don't think it's fair if the situation affects us personally. Do you see what I mean?
I'm sorry, Hayley. No, what are you talking about?
He hasn't told you, has he?
Who hasn't told me what?
John. He hasn't told you we split up.
What?
I'm not living at the cottage anymore. I've moved out. I'm back at my mum's.
Why? I'd rather not talk about that right now, Pat. What's he done? No, really, Pat. You'll have to ask John. I'm just holding myself together at the moment. If I get into sordid details, I might just...
Oh, Hayley, look, please, tell me what's happened.
Oh, God, it's him. Look, I've got to go, Pat. I'll see you.
Hayley! Hayley, wait!
You? I want a word!
Not now, Mum.
What have you done to that poor girl?
I haven't done anything to her.
Oh, yes? That's why she's left you, is it? That's why she's in tears, because you haven't done anything? I'm sorry, John, but I know you too damn well to be...
She caught me, okay? She caught me.
Caught you? What do you mean she caught... Hang on. Oh, no. Who did she catch you with, as if I couldn't guess? John?
Sharon.
Sharon. Sharon Richards. Dear God.
Don't start on me, okay?
How could you? How could you do it to Hayley? She has loved you and supported you and you just... How could you do this to her? Especially not with that... Sharon Richards, of all people.
You are making things so much better by yelling at me.
I don't want to make things better. I want you to understand. I want you, for once in your life, to take some responsibility for your actions. Hayley has left you, for God's sake.
Well, don't you think I know that? Don't you think I don't realise what I've lost? Yes, I've been stupid, and now Hayley's gone. You think that makes me feel good? I don't have time for this, Mum. I've got work to do.
Oh, that's it. Run away to your work.
So, Eddie, what can I do for you?
Well, it's difficult, really. I mean, I'm not sure if there's anything. It's just this business with George Barford. Things seem to be getting, well, a bit heavier. Out of control. You know what I mean?
I see. What's happened?
We had this visitor last night. Inspector Coverdale came to chew over old times. All informal-like.
You're not his favourite person, are you?
I could say that. Well, I won't deny it. Last night, he put the wind up me good and proper.
He shouldn't talk to you informally like that without my being there. He should interview you properly with the tape running. Oh, what's his game? You've told me you had nothing to do with the attack, and you have told me everything, haven't you?
Well, of course I have. I ain't daft. I know how serious this is. Well, that's why I'm here.
I'll tell him to leave you alone, but why has he got you so rattled?
Well, it's just not knowing what's going on. Everybody I saw that night denies seeing me.
Yes, they must have their reasons.
And Clive Orobin coming up with an alibi. It's really beginning to worry me.
Look, as it stands, Eddie, all they've got to link you to the crime is just circumstantial evidence. There are no witnesses who saw you doing anything, and there's nothing forensic so far.
Yeah, I'd like to know what's happening about that and all.
So I think I should go and see Inspector Coverdale.
Oh, if you think it'll help.
It may well do. I'll see whether the test results have come through.
Oh, that'll be a start.
I'll also see if I can get them to go back and question your venison customers again.
Ah, Brian.
Oh, hello, Jack.
That's lucky. You're just the person I wanted to see.
Yes, I'm sorry for not getting back to you. I did get your message.
Messages, Brian, plural. I've been trying to reach you since Monday. I need to talk to you about the shoot.
I know, and I'm sorry, but I've been up to my eyes in it. In fact, I haven't really time to stop now. Duty calls as usual.
Now, just hold on for a moment, Brian. This is important. This is a major business interest of mine we're talking about.
I know it is, Jack, but I'm literally popping into the shop for 2 seconds and then I'm going to have to sort out a feud at the estate office before it comes to blows.
Oh, dear, what's happened?
Oh, something and nothing. Graham's had complaints about the standards of cleaning. Susan reckons Graham's been spying on her. You know the kind of thing.
Well...
Listen, Jack, how about if we meet for a drink in the pool? 7 o'clock suits you?
That should be okay.
Right, well, I'll see you then. I really have to be getting on. Bye.
Yeah, see you later, Brian.
Hi, Mr. Woolley.
Oh, hello, Hayley. Decided against being green today, are we?
I'm not with you.
Well, you're not much more than a stone's throw from April Cottage. I'm assuming that's where you've just come from.
Yes. Yeah, it is.
Well, it's an easy walk for someone as young and fit as yourself. You don't really need your car.
No. Well, I'm on my way back to work, you see.
Oh, I see. Well, you don't have to look so serious, you know. I'm only teasing.
Oh. Well, if you'll excuse me,
Oh, yeah, fine, fine. Oh, by the way, you haven't forgotten the rent due next week, have you?
Sorry?
On the cottage. 'Tis the end of the month, after all.
Oh, look, you'll have to talk to John about that, Mr. Woolley.
Oh, well, I would, but I could see who wears the trousers in your household. Oh, it's good that John's got someone to keep you on the straight and narrow. I was only just saying to Sharon...
Sorry?
Sharon. When I was talking to her in the shop just now.
She's in there, is she?
Oh, yes. She's doing the lunch times this week. I was just saying to her about John. Where are you going, Hayley?
Got to get to work.
But you haven't been in the shop.
Nothing I need, is there?
What did I say?
Eddie, there you are.
Hello, Usher. Would you like a drink?
No, thanks. I've just come to bring you some news. Clary said you'd be here.
Yeah, well, drain me sore, as I thought.
Like that, is it?
No, not really. And to be honest, Kathy's mood's infectious, so I'm quite cheered up since I came in.
Ooh, any particular reason for Kathy being so up?
Oh, I think she's got all excited about this what's ailing thing she wants to do at Christmas. Well, Sid's given her the go-ahead anyway. You said you had some news?
Yes. We won't be overheard here. Well, I managed to get to see Inspector Coverdale this afternoon.
Oh, yeah, what did he have to say for himself?
I don't think he was terribly happy to see me. He gives me the impression that he sees lawyers getting in the way of his clear-up rate by insisting on due process.
Yeah, well, that figures. So, what did he say?
Well, firstly, I asked him if he considered going back and interviewing again the people you sold the venison to. He said he would, time permitting.
Time permitting?
Don't worry. I'm pretty certain he'll do it. He just didn't like being seen to give in too easily.
Oh, well, that's good. Did he say anything else?
Yes. Apparently, the results on one of the bloodstains have come through.
Oh, yeah?
The stuff that was in your van, the lab has confirmed it's animal blood.
What? That's brilliant! I mean, I always knew, but... Oh, thanks, Usha. Thanks a lot. I can't tell you what a weight off my mind that is.
Evening, Brian.
Hello, Jack. Let me get you a drink.
No, thanks. I'd like to talk to you about the shoot on Saturday.
Oh, went rather well, I thought.
Did you indeed?
Yes. I took over personally in the end.
So I understand.
I thought if you're going to do someone a favour, you may as well do it properly.
That was good of you.
Yeah, don't mention it.
Except that you weren't Brian, were you? Doing me a favour, that is.
I'm sorry?
Did your keeper tell you that I specifically wanted the plantation to be driven in the afternoon?
Well, yes.
So why did you change it?
Because the three drives in the morning have produced damn good results. I thought, why waste a good cover when they'd still get their money's worth from something slightly less interesting?
Yes, but that's my point, Brian. It's not the way I like to run the shoot here at Grey Gables.
Oh, I see, Jack. Along with the rest of the village, you've come out against good old-fashioned profit as well, have you?
Of course not. Don't be ridiculous.
Then what's the problem?
Look, Brian, I've said this to you before. I run my shoots at the hotel for different reasons to you. If my guests come and have a good day's shoot, they'll use the hotel again.
Oh, for goodness sake.
So, my best clients will ask specifically to use certain covers, and I'll accommodate them. That's why I left very clear, very specific instructions.
They all got exactly what they paid for. It's not as if anyone got shortchanged.
Oh, yes, they did. They were given less than our best. And I can't for the life of me understand why.
Jack, I was doing you a favour, saving you money.
Wasn't it because you wanted to show me how it should really be done? Brian Aldridge shows Jack Woolley how to make a shoot really profitable.
Oh, come on, Jack.
Perhaps that way you think I'll see the sense of merging my operation with yours. Am I right?
Of course not. Anyway, I'm sorry you feel that way. I was just trying to help, that's all.
You'll forgive me if I decline your generous offers of help for the foreseeable future, won't you?
It's up to you.
I think I'll manage my own shooting from now on. Just until George gets back, at least.
You'll have one heck of a wait, then, from what I hear.
That's a risk I'm prepared to take.
Look, I thought you wanted my help because Peggy's worried about you overdoing things.
Well, she'll have to worry on. I'd rather keep in charge of my own business, if you don't mind. Even if it means a bit of extra work. Goodbye, Brian.
Cheers, Jack.
There you go, my dear. One bowl of ultra-healthy muesli.
Thanks.
Everything all right in the dairy?
Well, I'm still not happy about that end unit, you know. We'll have to get it checked.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I meant to ring the engineer. I'll do it this afternoon.
And there's the one that calved during the night. I must remember to tell Mike to keep an eye on her.
Well, I'll tell him when he comes in, if you like.
OK. Where's Pip?
In the bedroom with Josh.
She all ready for school? It's nearly time.
Well, she's got a bit of a tummy ache, so I said she could stay home today. All right, what are you looking at me like that for?
Oh, what do you think I'm looking at you like that for?
Well, she might be telling the truth.
Yeah, and pigs might fly. You know what she's been like the last couple of weeks.
Look, her forehead did feel a bit hot, and I didn't fancy the prospect of another big row this morning. I think I'm going to have a coffee before I get on. Do you want one?
No, thanks.
Besides, it's only one day.
Look, what are we going to do if this mysterious stomachache materialises again tomorrow?
Oh, perhaps it won't.
If it does, you can be the one to make her go to school. I don't see why I should be the bad guy all the time. Honestly, David, I could do without this. I really could.
Look, if you want, you can take them over to see their Uncle Kenton today. I'm sure he won't mind babysitting for a while. It's not like he's got anything else to do, is it?
He's taking your mum out to Felpisham for the day, remember?
Oh. Well, look, maybe a day off school will, you know, make her realise how much she misses it.
You don't believe that any more than I do.
Well, not really, still, you never know. Oh, come in.
Sorry, mate.
Oh, hi, Bert.
Hi.
And how are we all this fine morning?
Not as cheerful as you by the sound of it.
He's still basking in the glory of the other night, Bert.
Of course. I'm looking at the quiz team hero, aren't I?
Oh, I don't know about that. I just come to say I'll make a start on mending that feed barrier, shall I?
Yeah, fine.
Right, then.
Hang on, wait a minute, Bert. We want to know the secret of your success.
Yeah.
Since when were you a trivia addict?
Well, you know, it wasn't as if they was all that difficult.
Not difficult. Do you hear that, Ruth? Bert, you knew the name of both actors to play C.C. Capwell in Santa Barbara.
Yeah, how on earth did you know that, Bert?
Well, it just come to me, I suppose. It's like I said, clear thinking.
It sounds as if Sid's quiz nights are quite a success.
Yeah. But I hear the cat are involved with this line dancing thing for children in need.
Oh, what's that?
Yeah, setting up a record for the longest line dance ever, right across the country.
Mm. Well, Sid's missed the trick there, then.
Come on, Sharon.
Hang on a second.
Oh, hello, Pat.
I'd like a word with you, if that's possible, Sharon.
Well, actually, I was just about to go to the shop.
It won't take long, and to be honest, I could say what I've got to say on the doorstep, but I don't think you'd want me to.
Right. You'd better come in, then.
Thanks.
Sit down if you want.
I won't, thanks. This won't take long.
So, what is it you want?
I want you to keep your gold-digging, money-grabbing presents away from my son. That's what I want.
No, wait a minute.
No, you wait a minute, Sharon. 3 years ago, you managed to destroy John's life, and now it looks as if you may have managed to do it again.
Look, hang on.
So, before that situation becomes permanent, you are to back off, do you hear?
Listen, Pat Archer, what happens between me and John is none of your business.
John is my son. Haley is my friend. It's very much my business, Sharon.
Oh, is it? Well, tough, because I gave up taking orders from you the day you stopped employing me.
What is it with you? What gives you the right to suddenly waltz back into our lives and make a move on John?
What the hell would you know about it? You've got no idea what I have with him.
Oh, yes, I have. You've had him running rings round you since he was a teenager.
Listen, it wasn't all one way, you know. You think I hypnotised him or something?
To be honest, Sharon, I don't care. You don't want John. You want his money and then somewhere nice to live. Well, hard luck, because you can't have either. Not from my son, at any rate.
I think you'd better leave now. Unless you've got anything else you want to add to this nice little speech.
I mean it, Sharon. You stay away from him, from both of them.
Yeah, yeah. I'm shaking in my shoes.
Hi, Bert. Do you want to lift back to the yard?
Oh, yeah. Why not? Save me legs.
Right, hop up, then.
Oh, you just been down the bull for lunch?
Yeah, I thought you might have done.
Oh, I thought I might see you in there.
No, I decided to work through, finish spraying the winter wheat.
Ah, fair enough.
Here, I've got one for you, Bert.
Well, what?
Who was the first presenter of the children's television programme Crackerjack?
What?
It's a trivia question. Who was the first presenter of Crackerjack?
Oh, well, yeah, you've got me.
Well, it's easy, Eamon Andrews.
Well, you could have given me a chance to think about it. Anyway, I don't watch that much television, as it happens.
Well, that didn't stop you knowing the names of two actors from an obscure American daytime soap the other night.
Oh, well, that was different.
Oh, why?
Well, Frieda. Frieda used to watch it, see? And she used to tell me about it. Besides, on the night of the quiz, my mind was focused. The adrenaline was running, all that.
All right. Try this one. What is the capital of Lithuania?
It's no use. It's like I said, I needs to have my mind cleared of all other thoughts for me to do it properly. Unless you want to try me on the laws of cricket, that is. I can answer questions on them till the cows come home.
Now, don't start that again. I had enough of that in the summer.
Stop, David, stop! Pip!
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 Hey, all right.
It's okay. It's okay. All right, sweetheart. It's all right, darling. Daddy's here. All
what
right.
On earth happened?
He ran in front of the tractor.
Oh, come on now, it's okay. It's all right.
He only just stopped in time.
Here. Come here, Bert. How did you get out?
Do you want me to go and find Richard?
No, it's all right, Bert. No, she's only fallen over.
Yeah, she tripped as she was backing away, see, Ruth?
Can you see to the tractor, Bert? We'll get her inside.
Right you are. Oh, see you later.
Come on, Pip, let's get you in.
What happened, Ruth? Where were you?
Oh, I only popped out for a few seconds. I wanted to have a look at that heifer, you know, the one that carved in the night.
For goodness sake, Ruth.
Josh was asleep. The baby alarm was on. She was playing in the sitting room and... Dib.
Oh. Hey, hey, hey. It's okay. She's all right. Come on. Come on, let's get her inside.
Oh, no.
Hayley.
Hi.
I'm sorry, I didn't expect to see you here.
Don't worry, I'm not staying. So if your girlfriend's coming over,
no, then... of course not. I just wondered what you were doing here, that's all.
I came to collect some things. I'd hoped to be in and out before you got back, but I see this time it's your turn to come home early.
I suppose I deserve that.
Yeah, you did. You better have this.
Please don't give me this key, Hayley.
I don't live here anymore.
But at least let me try and explain.
What is there to explain, John? You don't love me. Not in the way I need you to.
I do.
If you did, you wouldn't have been with her. I wouldn't have caught you with her here, of all places.
Hayley, just give me a chance.
I haven't got to do anything, John Archer. You betrayed me and you hurt me. I've got to do one damn thing you say, okay?
Look, just...
Okay!
Okay. Look, Hayley, I'm asking. I'm begging. Would you please listen to what I've got to say? Just sit down for a second. What harm can it do?
Fine. Well?
Look, this thing was Sharon. Before I met you, there was Sharon, okay?
Yes, I found that out, didn't I?
Hayley, just listen. When she left me, I was devastated. I didn't know what to do. Ask Mum, anyone. I went out with loads of women just to get her out of my head. And it was about that time I met you.
Oh, good. I'm glad to know we met on the rebound.
No, because by then she was out of my system. Or at least I thought she was.
And so then, when she came back?
Then? Hayley, you have to understand, there she was. This woman who I'd been obsessed with, offering herself to me. I mean, no two ways about it. She wanted me and she let me know it.
You couldn't resist. Why am I listening to this? Why is it when blokes get their end away, they always manage to portray themselves as the victim? Oh, I'm going.
Oh, please, Hayley. I'm not telling you this to say I'm the victim. I'm telling you because it's the truth.
How is that supposed to help, John?
I betrayed your trust. I know that. So now I'm telling you the truth. It's the only way I can think of to get you back.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I am so sorry. I've got no excuses. How can I have? I did what I did.
And what about now?
Hayley, it's finished. I don't want her anymore, but I want you back. Believe me, I really want you back.
I don't know, John. I don't know what I want.
Oh, who the hell's that?
Don't ask me. I'm not expecting anyone, am I?
Hang on, I'll get rid of them.
I want a word with you.
Sharon.
You want to learn to fight your own battles instead of getting your mum onto me. What the hell do you think? Oh,
this is all we need.
Sharon, this isn't the time or the place.
Hello, Hayley. How are you? Nice to see you again.
I didn't ask you in.
If you two make it up, just be sure you don't get on the wrong side of his mum, that's all.
So I'd like you to go. I don't want you here. Go now!
Yeah. Yeah, I think I will. No, don't bother. I'll see myself out.
Reckon I'd better go too.
But we hadn't finished talking.
I think we had.
Hayley, I don't know if you noticed, but I just chucked her out. You know, the woman who just caused all this. I just chucked her out of the house.
I know.
Well, doesn't it count for anything?
Listen, John, I do love you. She's always going to be around, isn't she?
What are you talking about? I can't choose where she lives, can I?
I don't mean that. I mean that wherever we are, whatever we do, her memory's going to be hanging over us like a little ghost. I'm sorry. I can't live with that. Goodbye, sweetheart.
No, Hayley, don't go. Please.
The front door key's on the coffee table.
Hayley!
Good boy. You're enjoying that, aren't you?
I am. Just thought I'd get a coffee before I cart the silage to the ewes. You want one?
No, thanks.
Okay. Everything all right here?
Yeah, I suppose.
Ah. Ah, dear, I hope this bout of melancholia might have passed by now.
What do you mean?
You know what I mean, Ruth. You've been looking as if you're about to burst since yesterday afternoon.
You can hardly blame me for thinking about it, David.
Look, love, it was an accident. Everything was all right in the end, wasn't it?
Yeah, but when I think what might have happened, it would have been all my fault. I left Pip on her own.
Only for a minute or so. Although, you might think about really letting Mike do his job instead of trying to oversee him all the time.
I know. I will try.
Besides, it wasn't just you, you know. I wasn't concentrating on driving that tractor.
I still can't help feeling guilty. And it's not helped by the fact that we practically had to force Pip to go to school this morning. Again.
Oh, no. But what can we do? I mean, she's got to go to school. Like it or lump it.
Yeah, but I still can't work out what's getting to her.
It's open.
Hello?
Come in, Roy.
We're in the kitchen.
Hiya, David.
Hiya.
There's a bloke out in the yard. Says he's come about one of your milking units.
Oh, blimey, that'll be the engineer. I forgot he was coming. Hang on, I'll be back in a second. I'll just show him where to go.
Oh, OK.
Do you want a coffee, Roy?
Yeah, all right. Oh, well, thanks. I'm going to be anywhere special.
Right, can you just hold Josh for a minute?
Oh, yeah, of course. Here we go.
Go on, have a seat.
Oh, thanks. Oh, hi, Josh. He's looking happy, isn't he? Yeah,
at least somebody is. Anyway, what can we do for you?
Well, it was Bert I was looking for, actually.
Well, I think he's been over at Longfield mending a fence.
I don't suppose I could leave a message for him.
I reckon we could manage that. What do you want to tell him?
Well, I just wanted to make sure he was on for being in the quiz team next week.
Yeah, I hear he's suddenly become indispensable.
Well, I should say he has. I mean, how he knew the name of Beowulf's father is beyond me, but with general knowledge like that, well, we can't lose, can we?
Oh, hello there, David. Mind if I join you?
Hi, Eddie. No, not at all.
Oh, at all.
How are things?
Oh, you know, I've got a bad case of mastitis in the ear. Dad's put a book right through the new parlour door. And the police are trying to fit me up for doing over George Barford. Otherwise, everything's fine, really.
Yeah, I heard about that. I thought that was all sorted, then.
Well, it is just a bit. Put it this way, I think I'm out the frame now. Any road, what about you? How are things?
Oh, my problems are mainly of a domestic nature, Eddie, to be honest. They come in the form of a four-year-old who flatly refuses to go to school.
Oh, yeah. I was like that till I was 15.
Oh, don't. I was hoping it was going to pass.
Yeah, I tell you what. Did you know that brother of yours was in here last night?
Yeah, I heard.
Buying everyone drinks, he was.
Yeah, well, it's nice if you can afford to.
Oh, dear. I hope that's not sibling jealousy rearing its ugly head.
Yeah, don't be daft.
Well, I know what I'd be like if Alf walked in here and started showing off. It doesn't change just because you stop being a kid, you know.
No. No, I suppose it doesn't.
Oh, chaps, is this a private party or can anyone join?
Oh, yeah, Roy.
Hi, Roy. Surprised to see you in here.
Oh, why is that then?
Well, it ain't your local anymore, is it? Now you're a university student.
Cat and Fiddle's your usual pub, isn't it?
Well, not at the moment, OK?
Oh, sorry. Obviously touched a raw nerve.
Look, if you must know, there's someone there I'd rather not run into at the moment, that's all.
Ah, I take it you mean Kate. I'd heard you two had split up. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, well, I managed to get the money to buy her share of the bike. I'm just not looking forward to handing over the cash, that's
oh,
all.
Oh, of course, I'll blame you there, mate.
I didn't mean it like that.
I'll tell you what, I don't understand the young people round here. Honestly, I don't.
What do you mean, Eddie?
Well, this one and Kate, and now I hear Ailey Jordan's moved out of April Cottage and gone back to her mum's.
Really?
No staying power the youth of today, if you ask me.
Is that true, Roy, about John and Ailey?
There's something else I'd rather not talk about, to be honest.
Mr. Grundy.
Oh, hello, Sergeant Blackmore.
I've just come from your farm. Your father said I'd find you in here.
That was helpful of him. What can I do for you?
Do you mind if we have a quick word in private?
No, no, of course not. Excuse me a minute, gents.
Yeah.
Over here will do, I think.
Wonder what that's all about.
I don't know.
It's nothing to worry about. It's just there's one or two details Inspector Coverdale wants to clarify.
And he wants me to come in.
If you wouldn't mind. Just informally, he told me, you know, when you're free.
Yeah, well, you can tell Inspector Coverdale that I know all about his informal little chats. I'll be there, but I'll have my solicitor with me, OK?
Of course. I'll let the inspector know.
Ah, Sergeant Blackmore, show them in, show them in.
This way, please.
Mr. Grundy, nice to see you. Come in.
I see. It's Mr. now, is it?
Eddie.
And Miss Gupta.
Hello, Inspector Coverdale.
Please, take a seat, both of you.
Thanks.
Oh, this ain't going to take long, because I've got a farm to run.
First of all, I'd like to thank you both for coming in at such short notice.
Yeah, would you mind telling me what the hell I'm doing here?
We didn't make you come here, did we, Mr. Grundy?
Yeah, well, anything to stop your lot coming up and bothering me in the pub. Have you any idea how embarrassing that is?
And you know how I'd hate to embarrass you, Mr. Grundy.
I think we'd probably all be best served if we allowed the inspector to ask you what he wants to ask, Eddie. He won't tell me what he's looking so pleased about.
Yeah, all right, I'm just saying.
This interview is being tape recorded. It is 15:05 on the 21st of November. The interview is taking place at Borchester Police Station. Present are myself, D.I. Coverdale, with Sergeant Blackmore. We are interviewing...
Mr. Edward Grundy.
And also present is...
Miss Usha Gupta.
Thank you, Miss Gupta. It's just a couple of things, really, but I do have to caution Mr. Grundy first. You do not have to say anything, but it may harm your defence if you do not mention when questioned something which you later rely on in court. Anything you do say may be given in evidence. You are not under arrest. You are not obliged to remain at the police station. Now, if you'd just like to take your mind back to the night of the attack, the 28th. During that evening, did you have any contact with George Barford at all?
No, I told you.
You didn't see him?
No.
You didn't talk to him?
No.
Okay, then. It may surprise you to know that bloodstains found on your jumper are George Barford's.
What?
Without a shadow of a doubt. The forensic lab tests show it for certain.
Inspector.
There must be a mistake.
No mistake, Eddie.
So, this is what you wouldn't tell me. It won't surprise you that I'd like a moment alone with my client.
Certainly. Interview stopped at 15:07. I'll be just along the corridor. Come on, Sergeant Blackmore.
Yes, sir.
Give us a shout when you're finished.
Okay, Eddie, I think if you've got anything to tell me, now would be a good time, because things are starting to get serious. What's going on?
I don't know.
Eddie, I'm going to have to let him back in a minute. Now, you're not helping yourself or me.
Usha, what can I tell you?
Everything you know.
I have.
You're sure? There's nothing you've left out.
I've told you. Usha, I promise you.
Right. Direct question, Eddie. Were you present at all when George Barford was beaten up?
Of course I wasn't.
Or afterwards?
No, I promise you.
Here we are, then. Okay, let's get you all strapped in, shall we? There you go. Yeah, it's a bit stiff, isn't it?
Hiya.
There.
Just the person I wanted to see.
You two are to pick up, Pip.
Yeah, we are. Before we go, I wouldn't mind knowing why you phoned the school this afternoon. Otherwise, I'll be clueless if the teacher says anything to me.
Oh, didn't I tell you when I came in after lunch?
No. And by the time I'd finished seeing to Josh, you'd gone back out to work again. So what's going on?
It's weird, actually. I had a sort of revelation from something Eddie said.
The mind boggles. What revelation?
Well, it's just that he was going on about sibling jealousy. And it occurred to me that we've been looking at this whole problem from the wrong angle.
How do you mean?
What if Pip doesn't want to go to school because of something that's wrong at home rather than in the classroom?
David, I'm not with you. There's nothing wrong at home, is there?
Well, no, not as far as we're concerned. But as far as Pip's concerned, we're sending her off to school while we both stay at home with a baby.
You mean she's jealous?
Yeah, makes sense. All her little life, she's been number one to us. And you remember what she was like when Daniel came on the scene and Mum was babysitting for the pair of them?
Yeah, I do. I'm surprised we haven't thought about this before.
Well, like I say, I think we're looking at it from the wrong angle.
So, if it's our problem, why call the school?
Well, I just had an idea, that's all. I mean, we can't stop Pip going to school, obviously. But maybe if she's feeling left out, we can organise some way that she can be a part of things.
Now you've lost me again.
Look, what I suggested to the teacher is that one day next week, one of us bring in Josh to school for the morning. So we can show Pip's class. You know, we could bath him, change his nappy, sort of thing.
I bet the teacher really loves you. She'll be busy enough as it is.
No, actually, she thought it was a good idea.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. She said the kids can learn a bit how to look after a baby. And, of course, Pip gets to show her brother off. It's not the first time it's happened, apparently.
Well, I suppose if the teacher's willing, there's no harm in trying.
In other words, you're telling me that you can't account for how it got there, aren't you?
That is what I'm telling you, yes.
Another man's blood turns up on your clothes just after he's been beaten within an inch of his life, and you don't know how it got there.
No, I don't.
See, I'm going through all sorts of things, Mr. Grundy, all sorts of permutations in my head, you know, like... Maybe you lent the jumper to someone. They beat George up, and then they gave it back to you. But the trouble is, we know you were wearing it on the night of the attack.
So whichever way you look at it, you had to know what was going on, didn't you?
I wasn't there, honest.
I think we've gone as far as we're going to, Inspector.
Oh, do you really, Miss Gupta?
Yes, I do. Now, either you're going to formally arrest my client, or he's leaving. Now, which is it?
The former, I'm afraid, Miss Gupta.
No.
All right, Mr. Grundy, you'll be formally arrested, given police bail, and then you'll be allowed to go home pending further investigation.
You mean, you really think I did it?
Yes, old son. I'm afraid I do. Edward George Grundy, I am arresting you for grievous bodily harm.
This is a nightmare. I didn't do it.
The Archers was written by Peter Carey, and the agricultural story editor is Graham Harvey. It was directed in our Pebble Mill studios by Peter Leslie Wilde. The editor is Vanessa Whitburn.